Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, text number 46. Before handing over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to ask Aditi Mataji to give brief introduction about Prabhuji. Mataji, please take over.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. I'm very fortunate to introduce today His Grace Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji. Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji is a senior Brahmachari devotee from Mumbai Yatra. He is part of the Vedic cosmology team currently working on the translation of Surya Siddhanta. Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji teaches many courses including Ishopanishad, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam at Bhakti Vedanta Academy for Culture and Education at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji is a gold medalist in electrical engineer honors from the Indian Institute of Science. His interest in cosmology studies led him to collaborate with fellow students at Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapeth at Govardhan Eco Village, Mumbai, India, resulting in the release of a book called Bhagavad Cosmology. Over to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you, Aditi Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फोर सॉरी कैंटो सिक्स Chapter 4, text number 46. So, kindly repeat after me. Tapo me hrudayam brahmams.
Tapo me hrudayam brahmams.
Tapo me hrudayam brahmams.
Tapo me hrudayam
brahmams. Tanur vidya kriya kriti.
तनुर्विद्याक्रियाकृति
अंगानि कृतवो जाता अंगानि कृतवो जाता
अंगानि कृतवो जाता
धर्म आत्मा स वासुरः
धर्म आत्मा
सवासुरः सुराः
धर्म आत्मा सवासुरः
तपो मे हृदयं ब्रह्मं
तपो मे हृदयं ब्रह्मं
तनुर्विद्या क्रियाकृतिः अंगानि कृतवो जाता
अंगानि कृतवो जाता
धर्म आत्मा स वासुरा
धर्म आत्मा स वासुरा
सम डिवोटीज वांट टू रिसाइट
तपो मे हृदयं ब्रह्मम्
तपो मे हृदयं ब्रह्मम्
तनुर्विद्या क्रिया कृतिः अंगानि कृतवो जाता
अंगानि कृतवो जाता
धर्म आत्मा सवः सुराः
धर्म आत्मा सवः सुराः
हरिओ
तपो मे हृदय ब्रह्म तनुर्विद्या क्रिया कृति रानी क्रतवो जाता धर्म आत्मा सव सुरः
तपो मे हृदयं ब्रह्मामि
तनु
तनुर्विद्य कृत अंगानि क्रतो वो जाता धर्म आत्मा सव सुरः
Okay. Anyone else want to try last one?
I could try. Please go ahead, Mataji.
Tapo me hridayang brahmams.
Tapo me hridayang brahmams.
Tanur vidya kriya kritihi.
अंगानि
क्रतवो जाता
अंगानि क्रतवो जाता
धर्म आत्मा सवा सुरः
धर्म आत्मा सवा सुरः
ओके थैंक यू वेरी मच विल मूव ऑन विल गो थ्रू व्हाट टू व्हाट ट्रांसलेशन एंड ट्रांसलेशन परफेक्ट व्हाट टू व्हाट ट्रांसलेशन तपः austerities like mental control, mystic yoga and meditation. Me, my, hrudayam, heart.
Hrudayam, heart.
Brahman.
Brahman.
O Brahmana.
O Brahmana.
Tanuhu.
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 The body.
The body.
Vidya.
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 The knowledge derived from Vedic scripture.
The knowledge derived from Vedic scriptures.
Kriya.
Spiritual activities.
Akriti.
Akriti.
Form.
Form.
Angani.
Angani.
The limbs of the body.
Krutavaha.
The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literature.
Jata.
Completed.
Dharma.
The religious principles for executing the ritualistic ceremonies. Atma. My soul.
My soul.
Asavaha.
Asavaha.
Life heirs.
Turaha. The devatas who execute my orders in different departments of the material world.
The departments of the material world.
Okay. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitute my body, and spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind, and the devatas who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. Purport. Sometimes atheists argue that since God is invisible to their eyes, they do not believe in God. For them, the Supreme Lord is describing a method by which one can see God in his impersonal form. Intelligent persons can see God in his personal form as stated in the Shastras. But if one is very eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately, face to face, he can see the Supreme Lord through this description, which is given in the today's verse, and in tomorrow's verse also you will see some more details, which portrays the previous internal and external, which portrays the various internal and external parts of his body. To engage in tapasya or denial of material activities is the first principle of spiritual life. Then there are spiritual activities such as the performance of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, study of the Vedic knowledge, meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, one should also respect the devatas and understand how they are situated, how they act, and how they manage the activities of the various departments of this material world. In this way, one can see how God is existing and how everything is managed perfectly because of the presence of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 10, Mayadhyakshena prakruti suyate sa characharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagad viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. If one is unable to see the Supreme Lord, although he is present as Krishna in his various incarnations, one may see the Supreme Lord's impersonal feature according to the direction of the Vedas, by seeing the activities of the material nature. Anything done under the direction of the Vedic injunctions is called Dharma, as described by the order carriers of Yamaraja, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text Number 40, wherein the Yamadutas say, Veda pranihito dharma hi adharmastad viparyayaha Vedo narayana sakshat Swayambhur iti sushruma. That which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles. And the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana and are self-born. Thus, we have heard from Yamaraja. Yamadusa is saying this. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya comments, Tapobhimani Rudrastu Vishnur Hrudayam Ashritaha Vidya Rupa Tatai Voma Vishnos Tanum Upashrita Shringaradi Akriti Gataha Kriyatma Paka Shasana Angeshu Kratavaha Sarve Madhya Dehecha Dharmarat Prano Vayus Chittagato Brahmadaya Sveshu Devataha. The various devatas are acting under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and according to their various actions, the devatas are differently named. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోవిష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపాగదామయం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణాలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ. నమాం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రతారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ, గుడ్ మార్నింగ్ టు ఆల్ అకార్డింగ్ టు యువర్ టైమ్. సో థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్ ఫర్ అలోయింగ్ మీ టు బి పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ సంఘ టుడే మార్నింగ్. సో ఐ వాస్ గివెన్ దిస్ వర్స్ చాప్టర్ 4 టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 46 వేర్ ఇన్ ద డిస్కషన్ ఈస్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు ఈస్ స్పీకింగ్ టు దక్ష ప్రజాపతి. సో Is my voice is audible to all of you, Hare Krishna?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. Oh.
Yes, Prabhuji.
So, first of all, I would like to express my gratitude to all of you. And before beginning to discuss from this verse and per part, I don't know whether, because since this is already 46th verse, many verses have been spoken in this chapter for many weeks or days, etc. Devotees might have presented about it, might have talked about it, but still, just to give you a background, why Daksha is doing what he is doing, some kind of background story, quickly, about 5-10 minutes, and then we will discuss the remaining time about the today's verse. So, if you remember, in the fourth canto, since all of you are studying Bhagavatam systematically, in the beginning chapters of the fourth canto, starting from chapter 2, we hear about Daksha performing a great sacrifice for which he invited all the devatas, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, etc. So, while Daksha was sponsoring for that sacrifice, all the great sages, the great sons of Lord Brahma, who are all Prajapatis, very well known all through the scriptures. So, Daksha entered the arena in order to continue the sacrifice for that day. Everyone got up, but Lord Shiva did not get up. Daksha felt very unhappy. Daksha thought, Lord Shiva is my son-in-law. He is supposed to respect me at all times, at all places. He is my son-in-law. So that was his thought. He is only seeing Lord Shiva based on physical level only, not understanding his spiritual position. So somehow or other, he was not happy with Lord Shiva, and he was not happy with the suggestion given by Lord Brahma to give his dearmost daughter Sati unto Lord Shiva as his wife. So he did, he criticized Lord Shiva, he cursed him, and he went away from that hall, even though many of the assembled Brahmanas were requesting not to do it. So eventually, unable to tolerate the insult of his master, Nandishwar, counter-cursed all those Brahmanas who supported Daksha and also Daksha. He cursed Daksha to become, you attain a goat head, since he is behaving like a goat. only interested in material name and fame, etc., etc. So then, since Nandishwara cursed for no reason all the Brahmanas who are quiet, what they can do? They were invited by the master. They, I mean, since he's master, they cannot say much. They kept quiet in one sense. So the leader of the Brahmanas, Bhrigu, also cursed Nandi and the followers of Lord Shiva. Some counter cursing going on. And eventually time passed. Again, Daksha started one more sacrifice. He did not invite Lord Shiva. Sati, understanding that some yajna is being performed by his father, requested Lord Shiva, let us go. Lord Shiva said, no, will not go. Because he will not welcome us. But Sati said, I will go. Shiva said, please don't go. If you go, you will have to receive some unexpected results. So still Shiva started to go to the home of Daksha. Lord Shiva sent his entourage to give protection to Sati. Sati went there. She was not received by Daksha, but she was received only by her sisters and mother. And there was no mantras chanted as an offering to Lord Shiva. She became very angry that her father was not at all considerate of her existence and her husband. Sati criticized Daksha and then, invoking fire, burnt herself. So everyone did ahakar, etc., etc. This news went to Lord Shiva by Narada Muni. Narada Muni took the news to Lord Shiva. Immediately Lord Shiva created a powerful Veerabhadra, fiery, powerful personality. He came and destroyed the sacrifice, cut the neck of Daksha, threw the head of Daksha into the fire that is in the sacrificial altar. Then all the devatas along with the brahmanas went to Brahma. Brahma initially kind of spoke heavily to them, you people did wrong. Then took all of them to Lord Shiva's abode Kailash. They pacified Lord Shiva, requested Lord Shiva to come and settle the matter. Though Daksha is sponsoring the sacrifice, but the sacrifice is meant for the welfare of the entire universe. The purpose of the sacrifice is good. The intent is good, motive is good. But Daksha had some personal difficulties with Lord Shiva. Just for that one reason, we should not stop the sacrifice. Sacrifice should go on for the benefit of the entire world. Bhuloka, Bhurloka, Sarkaloka, etc., etc. So Lord Shiva came there. Joining the goat head to Daksha, revived Daksha. And accepted the begging of forgiveness from Daksha. And then allowed the sacrifice to be completed. Then everyone went to their respective places. But in between, when Veerabhadra was coming towards Daksha's sacrifice, in order to destroy that sacrifice, the ladies, especially the wife of Daksha and her friends and followers, etc., remaining all the ladies, the Brahmanis, they were all saying that, while Prachina Barihi, when the Veerabhadra was coming along with all the followers of Lord Shiva, Bhuta Preta Pishashas, Ekshas, Rakshasas, there was a huge dust was rising on the direction from which they are coming. So initially they thought that some thieves might be coming. Then they say that while Prachina Barihi is ruling over the entire Bhumandala, how could there be thieves? These are not thieves. Certainly, there must be some calamity is going to happen. So, this is the point I want to bring in. So, while Daksha was performing this sacrifice, which was mentioned in the first few chapters of the fourth canto, Prachina Bhari was ruling over the entire Bhumandala. About whom Bhagavatam again, the fourth canto describes in the later part of the fourth canto. So, today, out of Brahma's 100 years, 50 years already passed. So today is the 51st year, first month, first day of Lord Brahma. So the Lord Brahma begins with Svayambhuva Manu Mantra. Svayambhuva Manu had two children, two sons and three daughters. That is mentioned in the third canto very clearly. Two sons were Priyavrata and Uttanapada. Three daughters were Akuti Prasuti Devaki, Akuti Devaki Prasuti, etc. So, Prasuti was given to Daksha in marriage. Just like Swayambhuva Manu is one of the sons of Lord Brahma, Daksha is also one of the sons of Lord Brahma. These two are born through the mind. The contemplation of Brahma itself produced different prajapatis. So Swayambhuva Manu had two children, Priyavrata, Uttanapada. Both of them went to Gurukul. And Priyavrata stayed back in the Gurukul becoming Brahmachari. And Uttanapada returned home. And Swayambhuva Manu, after ruling for sufficiently, after three daughters' marriage is over, he enthroned Uttanapada. After Uttanapada, Dhruva ruled. After Dhruva, his children, 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 like that. Eventually, it came to the point that Prachinabarhi was ruling. So when Prachinabarhi was ruling, this Daksha Yajna was going on. So Virabhadra came and cut off his head, and eventually Lord Shiva came back and revived Daksha by adding goat head. The sacrifice was completed. Devatas were happy. The sages were happy. Lord Shiva was happy. Lord Brahma was happy. Even Lord Vishnu was happy. Everyone is happy. Everyone dispersed to their respective areas. Only Daksha was not happy. In one sense, he realized his mistake, but he was not happy that his physical body was defamed. Previously, he was beautiful looking, handsome Prajapati of Brahma. But he had a goat head onto the human body, human trunk. He was not at all happy to continue with that unglamorous physical appearance, physical condition. In due course of time, he died untimely. He left his body untimely. This is happening on one side. On the other side, Prachinabari was busy with performing yajna after yajna. Naradamuni came and told him the story of allegorical story of Puranjana, inspired him to go to forest, taking on to Vanaprastha order. Though he said, my sons, the 10 Prachetas have gone to the forest. They are performing austerities to please Lord Vishnu. Let me wait till they come home. But Naradamuni said, no idea. We don't know what happens tomorrow. If by the time they come, anything can happen. Better go and take bhakti seriously and perfect your life. Hearing the words of Naradamuni, he goes to the forest, giving the responsibility of the kingdom to the ministers, informing that once my sons comes, they will continue to rule. So the 10 Prachetas had darshan of Lord Vishnu. They obtained a daughter. Whatever is happening today, in the current context, Lord Vishnu speaking to Daksha, the same thing was also spoken to the 10 Prachetas by Lord Vishnu. So my dear Prachetas, following the order of your father, you come here to perform austerities. You perform successfully all the austerities with a desire to beget bona fide sons who will continue to rule over the entire Bhumandala religiously, properly. So Lord Vishnu himself said, very soon you will get to marry a proper girl, and through her you will get a powerful son, and he will spread your glory, something like that. So Lord Vishnu blessed them and disappeared. The Prachetas were married to, this is mentioned in the beginning of this chapter, Marisha, I suppose, the girl who was the daughter of Kandu Muni and Pramlocha Apsara. So their daughter was Marisha. She was raised by the plants. When Prachetas came out, the entire surface of the land is occupied by the plants. All the plants are grew up everywhere. They became angry. What is this? No one is there to take care of the kingdom. Why the trees are growing up like this? So they wanted to remove the excessive plants. So they produced fire from their mystic potency. Then Soma, the nourisher of the plants, came down and informed the Prachetas, my dear sons, please do not become angry. So please be merciful to the trees. And in response, the trees want to offer their daughter to you in marriage. Because this Marisha, the daughter of Pramlocha and Kandumuni, was nourished by the plants, taken care by the plants. So in exchange, because Prachetas stopped burning the trees further, they gave their daughter in marriage to the 10 Prachetas. Just like one Draupadi married 5 Pandavas, the one Marisha married the 10 Prachetas. So now that Daksha who could not continue to live for long with the goat head, who left his body, which he obtained through the mystic potency of Lord Brahma. Now he appeared as the son of Maharsha through the 10 Prachetas. So the 10 Prachetas ruled the kingdom for some time, and then they wanted to go on to Vanaprastha. They requested our Daksha, who now appeared as their son. We don't know what name they gave to him. But they requested their son, "My dear son, please take care of the kingdom. We are going to the forest and take care of the citizens and also your mother," saying that the Prachetas went to the forest, maybe towards north. And Daksha, who appeared now as a Kshatriya in Bhuloka, previously he was the son of Lord Brahma. He was the Prajapati, one of the revered Prajapati, best among all the Prajapatis, could not take it that I have become a human being. Son of a Kshatriya, what is this? I want to regain my previous powers. By the way, by the time Daksha was supposed to become the king after the 10 Prachetas, half of the Swayambhuva Manvantara period had completed. Since the time Swayambhuva Manu was born through Brahma, half the Manvantara period, which lasts for 36, one Manvantara lasts for 71 Divya Yugas or Chatur Yugas. One Chaturyuga is consisting of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. All the four Yuga put together called one Divya Yuga. Like that 71 combined is called one Chaturyuga or one Divya Yuga. Out of that, half of the Chaturyuga was completed by the time Daksha was supposed to be the king. So he did not want to be the king. He went to other side of the forest to perform austerities, severe austere tapasya, so that he can regain his original position. He was performing tapasya year, day after day, week after week, year after year, century after century, yuga after yuga. Swayambhuva Manvantara period completed. Swarochicha Manvantara period is completed. Uttama Manvantara period is completed. Tamasa Manvantara period is completed. Raivata Manvantara period is completed. Chakshusha Manvantara period started. The first one completed, second, third, fourth, fifth got completed. The sixth Manvantara is currently running. Even the sixth Manvantara, almost half the Manvantara period, even little more than half the Manvantara period is already completed. He basically performed tapasya for the second half of the first Manvantara, full second Manvantara, full third Manvantara, full fourth Manvantara, full fifth Manvantara, and half sixth Manvantara. Literally, he performed tapasya for six Manvantaras. One Manvantara lasts for 71 Chaturyugas. That means he performed severe tapasya to regain his original position for six times 71 Chaturyugas. So while he was still performing his tapasya on one side, at one particular place, I don't remember, I think Tamraparani River, on the bank of Tamraparani River, a king whose name is Satyavrata, one day he went to perform his morning argya, taking bath in the river and taking water and offering to Surya Narayana, chanting Gayatri, etc. So while he collected some water in his kapod farms, there was a small fish. He was about to throw that small fish back into the river. The fish said, "My dear sir, please save me. If you throw me back into the river, the big fish will eat me up." So out of compassion, he put that water into the kamandalu, took it to his home, put into a bigger vessel. The fish became big. Bigger vessel, big. The fish became big. So small well, pond, lake, river. It has been occupied the full river. Eventually, he took the fish to the ocean. Then king realized that, "My dear sir, you might be a mystic person or a great yogi who have come, or a great devata or a great sage who have come to test me, or you must be the Supreme Lord. Please tell me the reason why you came here all the way unto me." The time Lord Narayana, assuming his original form, replied that, "My dear King Satyavrata, my dear devotee, very soon in 7 days, there is going to be a pralaya. Bhuloka, Bhurloka, Sargaloka, all three planet system will be destroyed completely. I will send a boat. May you yourself enter into the boat along with the important food grains, the important living entities and the saptarishis. I will save all of you." So as Lord predicted, 7 days later, huge Samvartaka clouds came and huge rain was there. Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, all three planet systems are completely submerged into the water. The boat came, King Satyavrata and the Saptarishis and the grains, important plants and all, they all boarded into the boat. Lord saved them during the time of that, the rain was coming up. Everything and everyone got destroyed. There was no one around in one sense. All the devatas who were ruling over the entire Swargaloka, Bhuloka, Bhurloka all got destroyed. There was no one to look around except King, whoever was there in the boat. The Saptarishis, King Satyavrata and few important personalities and all the different variety of vegetation and some prominent vegetation and some plants, etc. etc. Only these things, some animals, these things were there, nothing else. So, Acharyas explained that during this time, Lord Brahma went to a power nap. Because of some reason, he got some power nap. Taking that power nap, in order to orchestrate many, many upcoming pastimes, Lord Vishnu himself orchestrated this, a kind of imminent pralaya, which is not supposed to come at that time, but which happened to come by the will of the providence. All the three planet systems are completely destroyed. And as soon as Brahma woke up, after small, according to his time scale, maybe few minutes, 2-3 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever you can say, he saw Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka are completely submerged in the water. He don't know what to do. He was contemplating, he understood this is the will of the Supreme Lord. He wanted to perform some important pastimes, taking this as a reference. So then, he has to recreate the living entities who are supposed to live in the Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka. Devatas are not there. Indra, Chandra, Varunava, everyone got destroyed. Who will look after the universe? Now there is a big problem. So while Brahma was contemplating like that, he remembered Daksha Prajapati, who was performing severe austerities for the last 6 Manvantara time periods. He started in the middle of the 1st Manvantara. Now it is the middle of the 6th Manvantara. Then he directly went to Daksha. He informed Daksha, "My dear Daksha, please rise from your austerities. I will give you the position what you are looking for. You will be no more Kshatriya anymore. You will be again the most revered, the most respected Prajapati among all the Prajapatis. Since because of this pralaya, all three planet systems are completely destroyed. Now I don't want to get into the recreation once again. On my behalf, kindly you do the needful. You recreate everyone that are supposed to be situated and taking care of the entire universe, especially the Bhuloka, Bhurloka and Swargaloka." Daksha agreed because he was waiting for this particular opportunity only. He got it. He was very happy. Thus being empowered by Lord Brahma to do what is the need of the hour, he immediately sat in meditation, because since he already performed so much tapasya, he had acquired so much mystic power. And with those mystic powers, Daksha created different variety of living entities with his mystic power. Even in this chapter, the text number 19 says that Manasaiva Asrujat Purvam Prajapatir Ima Praja Deva Asura Manushadin Naba Stala Jalaukasa. With his mystic power, Prajapati Daksha created the devatas, then asuras, then human beings, and also living entity situated in the sky, ether, that means birds, situated on the earth, that means plants, and jalaukasa, situated in the water, that means aquatics. So Daksha, with his own mystic power, he created the aquatics, he created the plants, he created the birds, he created the human beings, devatas, and asuras. But still, he was not happy, because the population is not increasing to the extent it is supposed to increase. Tam abhrammitam alokya praja sargam prajapati vindya padan upavrajya so archad dushkaram tapa. Since the population is not increasing so much the way he wanted, he was not happy. In order to do the things in a faster manner, he quickly went to Vindhya mountains. There he undertook a severe tapasya in order to please Lord Vishnu, so that he will do his service in a faster way. Because now the Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka and Sargoloka is completely empty. With his mystic potence, though he was creating so many variety of living entities, but still they are not good enough to continue the creation for quicker pace. So he went to Vindhya mountain. He performed severe austerities, chanting a prayer known as Hamsaguruya prayers. He chanted the Hamsaguruya prayers. Then he had the darshan of Lord Vishnu. After giving his wonderful darshan to Daksha Prajapati, Lord Vishnu is speaking to Daksha. Because Daksha, following the order of Lord Brahma, is intent on populating the three planetary systems which were recently destroyed by the untimely pralaya. So that was the context in which the currently running verses are being spoken by Lord Vishnu, by Lord Vishnu on to Prajapati Daksha. So I have some notes in the based on these verses. Of course, in 35 to 39, Lord Vishnu's beautiful form is described in these 3-4 verses. His form is like he appears being seated on Garuda, and he appears with 8 arms, holding the 8 different weapons. And his full bodily description is given. Whenever Lord Vishnu appears in order to bless the devotee, the description comes elaborately in throughout the Bhagavatam. So then, seeing that astonishing form, Prajapati Daksha, somewhat afraid but pleased, fell to the ground like a stick to offer his respects to the Supreme Lord. Daksha fell flat and offered obeisances. And then, because his senses were filled with intense bliss, like waterfalls filling up rivers, he could not speak at all. And Daksha, out of complete satisfaction, being grateful to Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu appeared very quickly. Previously, while performing tapasya to please Brahma, he underwent tapasya for 6 manvantara periods. But now in small time, he attained darshan of Lord Vishnu. He was very much happy, and the tears are flowing from his eyes like the rivers. And because of the intense bliss, he became stunned. He could not speak any word. The Lord, who knows the heart of all beings, then spoke to his devotee Daksha, who has bowing before him with a desire to produce progeny. So, understanding that Daksha could not speak, could not offer any prayers, the Lord himself begins to speak to Daksha. So, Lord says that, O fortunate son of Prachetas, you have become perfect by austerities because you have attained the highest conception of me through faith dedicated to me. So, referring to the prayers offered by Daksha, Daksha repeated the prayers which were known as Hamsaguruya prayers. Acharya says that these are not the original composition of Daksha. So, these prayers are offered by the 4 Kumaras unto Lord Hamsa, and Daksha repeated those prayers. Just like in the 4th canto, we see that Lord Shiva teaches a special poem to the 10 Prachetas known as Rudra Gita, chanting that they had darshan of Lord Vishnu. Similarly, the poem composed by 4 Kumaras known as Amsakuya prayers, chanting those prayers, now Daksha is having the darshan of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu says that, by chanting those prayers, I can understand that you have understood about me. You have a fair understanding of my form, etc., etc. He says that. Master of the progeny, I am pleased with you, since your austerity for increasing the population is also my desire, that the increase of living in it is, let it take place. He says that, Prito hamte prajanata yatte asya asyo brahmanam tapa. Mamaisa kama bhutanam yat puyasur vibhutaya. Is basically that you are performing this intense tapasya with the intention of increasing the population. That was the order by Lord Brahma unto you. That was the order of your father unto you. And that was also my desire. Since you are trying to fulfill my desire, I am very much pleased with you. Since your austerity for increasing the population of the earth is my desire also, therefore, your austerity has become successful. What is the nature of your desire? May the population increase. Somebody might question, my dear Lord, you are selling your, this is also your desire. What is your desire? My desire is that may the population increase. I mean, we have to see that Lord says that may the population increase and progress in their spiritual journey and attend to human form and perform bhakti and go back, come back to Godhead. Lord does not want that just population should increase here. That the population, all different variety of population should come to human form, human species, then take up bhakti seriously and go back, come back to Godhead. That was the desire of Lord Vishnu. So in that way. So then Lord Vishnu continues. Brahmo bhavo bhava bhavantascha manavo vibhudeshvara vibhutayo mamai eta vibhutinam bhuta hetava. He says that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, you Prajapatis, the Manus, and the leaders of the Devatas, who are all my expansions, strive to increase the living entities. Including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all the Prajapatis such as you, Daksha, Pulaha, Kratu, Vasishta, Atri, Bhrugu, and all the Manus, the leaders of the Devatas like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, who are all my expansions, they are all strive to increase the living entity. That means, some produce the living entities, others will take care of the maintenance of the living entities. In either way, the living entities are taken care very nicely by all these personalities, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Prajapatis, Manus, and the Devatas, and the great sages, so that they will all practice bhakti and go back home back to Godhead. The purpose of they are maintaining us is our going back home back to Godhead. Why the parents take care of the children very nicely? So that the children will rise up as a civilized human being and then take care of themselves, take care of the family members, take care of the society, and eventually, ultimately, go back to Godhead from our devotee perspective. So it is like that. So now, in today's verse, Lord says that Tapo me hrudayam brahmas Tanur Vidya Kriyakruti Angani Krutavo Jata Dharma Atma Sava Sura. Having mentioned that it is my desire that all the living entities should increase and ultimately they should come to human species and take up bhakti and go back to Godhead. In order to facilitate that, all of you, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all the Prajapatis, all the Manus, and all the Devatas headed by Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu are all working very hard so that all the devotees, all the living entities will go back to Godhead. And since you have undertaken this tapasya in order to fulfill my desire, it is, and all the others, personalities which I mentioned in the previous verse are also doing the same thing because all of you are my different bodily limbs. That Lord mentions in the current verse. And tomorrow's verse. Tomorrow also you'll further see the next verse. Herein Lord is saying that, O Brahmana, O Daksha, austerity is my heart. Tapa me hrudayam. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitute my body. And daily and occasional rites are my form. Sacrifices are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune producing from sacrifices constitute my mind. And the devatas are my life heirs. All the personalities that have been mentioned in the previous verses, Lord connecting in today's verse, somehow or other they are all connected to me only. None of them are independent of me. Everyone is part of me, and they are all working in cooperation to accomplish my desire. That is to provide all the facilities necessary for the living entities to practice bhakti and go back home back to Godhead. So that was the intention. So here in this verse, the Lord is saying that tapome hrudayam brahmas tanur vidya kriya kriti angani krutavo jata dharma atma asava sura. So here in this verse, the Lord is saying that, my dear Daksha, hear of my form according to karma yoga. There are so many personalities, there are so many processes that elevate their consciousness. Some take shelter of karma yoga, some take shelter of jnana yoga, some take shelter of ashtanga yoga, some take shelter of bhakti yoga. Different people see the Lord in different way. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, last verse. Anyone remember what was the verse? What was the last verse of chapter 5?
529.
In that verse, Lord says that those who understand who am I, whatever one may be practicing, the practitioners of karma yoga should understand me as Bhoktaram Yajna. I am the ultimate beneficiary of the Yajna that is being performed by all the karma yoga practitioners. And if somebody is practicing jnana, as part of jnana, somebody performing severe austerities, Bhoktaram Tapaha. I am the ultimate beneficiary of the tapasya performed by the jnana yogis. And if somebody is practicing ashtanga yoga, I am the paramatma who is the lord of all planetary systems. Sarva loka maha ishwaram. Paramatma, who is from our perspective, the paramatma is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. From Lord's perspective, the Paramatma for the entire universe is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. It is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu who is the Paramatma of the entire universe. He is the master of the entire universe. He is called as Sarva Loka Maheshwara. It is he who expands as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu and who expands as the Antaryami in each one of our heart. The Ashtanga Yogi see me as the Lord of all planetary systems that are existing in the entire universe, the Paramatma of the entire Brahmanda. Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. And finally, the Bhakti Yogi see me as the ultimate well-wisher of one and all. Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam. Either one may be practicing Karma Yoga, or one may be practicing Jnana Yoga, or one may be practicing Ashtanga Yoga, or one may be practicing Bhakti Yoga, or one may be practicing atheistic lifestyle. Still, the ultimate well-wisher of each and everyone is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam. He who understands this, whether one is Karma Yogi, Jnana Yogi, Ashtanga Yogi or Bhakti Yogi, Jnatva Maam, Tatvato Jnatva. One who understands me, Tatvataha, like this, Shanti Mruchyati. Here Shanti means not only just some physical peace or mental peace. Shanti means one is going back home back to Godhead, attaining one's eternal or constitutional position. Muktir hitva annyata rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. That is, Shanti means attaining mukti. The Nishkama Karma Yogis, Jnana Yogis and Ashtanga Yogis might be anticipating or might be desiring to go to Sayujya. So they will attend Sayujya. The devotees might be desiring to go to Vaikuntha. the devotees will attain Vaikuntha. So one is going back home, back to God, it is called Shanti. One who understands me completely, they will attain Moksha. So the Karma Yogi see the Lord as Yajna. The Jnana Yogi see the Lord as Tapasya. Ashtanga Yogi see the Lord as Paramatma. Bhakti Yogi see the Lord as the Supreme Well-Wisher of one and all. So how the Karma Yogi see the Lord is explained in the today's verse. How the Jnana Yogis and devotees see the Lord is explained in the tomorrow's verse. So in that way. So now see, let us see how the Karma Yogis see the Lord. Austerity in the form of Yama and Niyamas is my heart. Tapo me Hrudayam. The heart of the Supreme Lord is those rules and regulations are being followed by karma, Nishkama Karma Yogis and Jnana Yogis and Ashtanga Yogis. These are common for everyone. The rules and regulations, while one is a householder, supposed to be followed by a Nishkama Karma Yogi or Jnana Yogi, those who want to become Jnana Yogi and Ashtanga Yogi, the rules and regulations are all same. And those rules and regulations are called as, are considered to be the heart of the Supreme Lord. That is, Tapo Me Hrudayam Mayam. The rules and regulations that are followed in the household order by the Karma Yogis, Jnana Yogis, Ashtanga Yogis is my heart. And then Brahmam Stanur, the knowledge with chanting of the mantras is my body. The Vedas which prescribe what to do, what not to do is the form of the Supreme Lord. Anyone remembers the last verse of the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita?
Yakshastra Vidhi Mutsutya Vartate Kamakartam.
That is last but one verse. There is one more verse after that verse. What is that? Tasma Shastra Pramanante Karya Karya Vyavastito Jnatva Shastra Vidanoktam Karma Kartum Iha Arhasi. My dear Arjuna, a human being who want to become a civilized human being having born in Bharatavarsha, Iha means in this world, they should understand Shastra. Jnatva Shastra Vidanoktam. They should understand what is the Vidhi Vidhan that is supposed to be followed by a human being who want to become a civilized human being. Karma Kartum Arahasi. They should perform their karma. They should perform their Varnashrama duties. Why? Tasma Shastra Pramanante Karya Akarya Vyavastito. It is Shastra which describes what to do, what not to do, Karya and Akarya. If one does not follow Shastra, what happens? Is Shastra Vidhi Musrujya Vartate Kamakarata Nasasiddhim Avapnoti Na Sukham Na Paramgatim. Whatever activity one performs, they will neither get the result, neither get the expected result, nor the happiness, Nasasiddhim Na Sukham. We undertake every activity with an expectation of some result. We neither get the result nor get the happiness, na param gatim, nor go back home back to Godhead. Therefore, Shastra is supposed to be followed in all respects. That Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavatam, again he says that in one of the, I think later on, only 6th canto, only later on, Lord Sankarsana, while speaking to Chitraketu Maharaj, he says that, I don't remember exactly the verse, but Shabda Brahma Parabrahma Mamobe Shashvati Tanu. He says that Shabda Brahma and Parabrahma both are my eternal forms. Shabda Brahma means all the Vedic literatures. Parabrahma means the absolute form of the Lord. That what is that? Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. These are Lord's eternal forms. So that's what Lord Sankarsana tells to our Chitraketu Maharaj. So in that way. Aham vai sarva bhutani bhutatma bhutabhavana shabda brahma parabrahma mamube shashvati tanu. This is 6th canto, 16th chapter, text number 51. He says that all the living entities are manifested from me. More than that, the shabda brahma, the Vedas are also emanated from me, and Parabrahma, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are also my Shashwati Tanu. They are my Tanu. So all the Vedas are my body. Shabda Brahma, Shashwati Tanu of mine. Daily and occasional rites are also my form. Vidya, Kriya, Akriti. Whatever duties that we perform every day in, day out, and occasionally on the Ekadashi and the festival tithis, all those duties are all Lord's form only. And then, sacrifices are my limbs, our head. Angani Krutavo. Whatever yajnas, fire sacrifices that are being performed by the Karma Yoga practitioners, they are all different bodily limbs of the Supreme Lord. Jata Dharma Atma. The results generated from sacrifices are my mind. Whatever sacrifices the Karma Yoga practitioners perform, or all of us that we do in our day-to-day activities, Varnashrama duties, the results are Lord's mind. They are produced from Lord's mind. And my life is are the devatas. Asava Sura. All the devatas are the breathing of the Supreme Lord. For us, the breathing is the most important thing. We can continue to live if our eyes are not there, our nostril is not there, our tongue is not there, our hands are not there, legs are not there. But if breathing is not there, we cannot continue to live. The only thing one can say that we are alive or not is whether we are breathing or not. Just like the breathing is very much important for our sustenance, the devatas are also very much important for the sustenance of the entire universe. It is the devatas who are maintaining the entire universe. That's why they are compared to the breathing of the Supreme Lord. All these actions, such as austerity, are vibhutis of my body, of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Satchidananda Swarupa. All these personalities are Lord's Satchit Ananda Swarupa. So that is what the Lord indicates here in this particular verse. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions the same things in the purport. I put all the notes here quickly just to run through. But in the purport, Prabhupada says that people consider Lord to be impersonal. But here in these two verses, this verse and tomorrow's verse, indirectly or directly, Lord indicating what is my form, how to pursue me. The Karma Yogis, how do they pursue me? Jnana Yogis, how do they pursue me? Ashtanga Yogis, how do they pursue me? And Bhakti Yogis, how do they pursue me? And everything is indicated. Even for the people, the modern scientific people, they say that the nature is working on its own. But Bhagavad Gita says that the nature is working under my supervision. Maya Adhyakshena Prakruti Suyate Sa Characharam. Whether it is material world or all of us are all working or performing all our activities under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We cannot deny the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yantrana Rurani Maya. It's like that. So, this is how it is mentioned. Of course, in that Veda, Brahmanas Tanu, the Veda, Vedic literatures are Maitanu. In order to establish that, our Prabhupada quotes a verse spoken by Yamadutas in the first chapter of the sixth canto. Veda Pranito Dharma Hadarmastad Viparaya Vedo Narayana Sakshat Swayambhur Iti Sushtuma. That Veda Narayana Sakshat Vedas are not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as later on the sixth canto also Lord Sankarsana himself says that Shabda Brahma Parabrahma Mamobe Shashwati Tanu. The Shabda Brahma and Parabrahma are more my eternal forms. So in that way. The same thing Madhvacharya, Prabhupada quotes from Madhvacharya indicating that how all these different personalities are also Lord's form. How they are being part of the Supreme Lord's body are performing various activities. If you remember, second canto and third canto talks about the universal form. While explaining the universal form and different devatas are said to be residing in the different body limbs of the universal form. The Surya is residing in the eyes of the universal form. Chandra is residing in the mind of the universal form. Brahma is residing in the intelligence of the universal form. Rudra is residing in the Ahankara of the universal form. Tapo Abhimani Rudrastu. Abhimana means Ahankara. One's identity. One's Abhiman. So Rudra is residing there. And the Vedas are coming from the heart of the Supreme Lord. Vidya, Rupa, Tatai, Vama, Vishnu, Tanum, Upashtita. The Vidya, the Vedas are all the form of the Supreme Lord. And etc., etc., etc. So many things are mentioned. Indra is residing the legs of the hands of the Lord. So many devatas details are mentioned in that third canto and second canto, etc., etc. So in one sense, so who the Lord is, how everything in this world is connected to the Supreme Lord. As we also study in the Vibhuti Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita, yad yad vibhuti mastattvam srivat urjitam evava tatta teva vagachattvam mama teja amsa sambhava. Whatever that you see in this entire world having some speciality, the special features, that is all manifested from the spark of mama teja amsa sambhava. Lord Krishna says that they all appeared from the teja, the power of my amsa. Amsa teja sambhava. The Lord's amsa is Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu's amsa is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From Garbhodakshaya Vishnu only everything that is appeared in this universe, something, everything wonderful has appeared in the universe. So mama amsa is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's teja is all the opulences that have been described in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, all the vibhutis. Here also we see the same things are mentioned. So these are the few things in relation to today's verse. Oh, I am sorry, I spent more time on the background story. Let's start off connecting what is happening. So if somebody has said it is repetition, that is okay. When we have to hear Bhagavatam again and again, if no one has said, it is something new. So thank you very much for this opportunity. So if we have some more time, we will take supply of points to discuss further.
Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful recap of the whole chapter of Daksha, how he came into being again after Swayambhu Manu, and really recollect, Prabhuji. So, like, we have a forgetful mind. In the flow of Bhagavatam, we just forget what has happened in the previous chapters. So thank you so much for bringing it into conscious, like what is happening with Daksha in this chapter and what Lord Vishnu is about to say to Daksha. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. And dear devotees, the forum is open now for question and answers. Yeah, Anuradha Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for narrating again. And, you know, it's like a refreshing. I have to hear it again so that I can get it properly. Prabhu, I had a very naive question. I mean, it is the gap in my understanding. In this purport, one shloka is mentioned where it says that whatever is in the Veda is dharma and everything else is irreligion or adharma, right?
Yes.
And also, I remember in the beginning, I don't remember exact purport which one. In the beginning, I mean, in the first canto, Prabhupada writes that in the beginning of the purport, that of the beginning chapters, that, you know, that there cannot be any knowledge which is beyond Vedas. Whatever is there, everything is there, Vedas, because Veda comes from Krishna. So how do I reconcile this to Prabhu? Is my question clear, Prabhu?
There is no separateness. Everything is there in the Vedas, and the Vedas have come from the Supreme Lord, and the Vedas are non-different from the Supreme Lord. Vedo Narayana Sakshat. Vedas are non-different from the Supreme Lord himself. As I refer to you one verse from 6th Canto, chapter 17, I think 61 or 51, where Lord says that Shabda Brahma Parabrahma Mamobe Shashvati Tanu. That means Shabda Brahma Parabrahma Ube Mama Shashvati Tanu. The Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, which is Parabrahma, and all the Vedic literatures, which is Shabda Brahma, are not different from my form only. That means they are not different from me only. So
yes,
there is nothing,
yes,
beyond the Supreme Lord. So there is nothing beyond the Vedic literatures in that sense.
So when we say adharma or something against the Vedic literature, how do we understand that part of it, Prabhu? Was my question.
That is same. Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that yes, Shastra Vidhi Musrija. So what we are supposed to do, how do we lead our life? It is there in the Vedas. And not following it is not there in the Vedas. What is not mentioned in the Vedas, if we follow, that is called adharma. So, I mean, you mean to say even adharma is there in the Vedas? No, no, no. Adharma and all not there. The Vedas will have rules and regulations. Karya and akarya. What to do, what not to do. The Bhagavad Gita says that eat Krishna prasad. Don't eat something which is not offered to Krishna. So eating something which is not offered to Krishna is not against the Vedas. So that is adharma.
Yes, bro. Got it, bro. Thank you so much, bro. Dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Jyoti Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat pranam, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, my question is, you said that we are here from the beginning and then we are supposed to do the austerities and go back to Lord. So, but as per my little understanding, whatever I have heard, I'm very neophyte. So please make this point. I heard that we are fallen from the abode and we look for, means we are searching for Krishna. And that is the reason we are not completely satisfied here. So by devotion, we get the glimpse of the satisfaction. And once we are purified and then we can go back to, means we qualify to go back. And then that qualification also has many of the layers and many internal layers as well. So what is that? Means this is like, it's very confusing for me today. So could you please clarify and share your wisdom? Thank you.
I just want to correct a couple of statements that you made. And you made a statement that we are all searching Krishna. Actually, we are
because
not searching.
Because we have fallen from a board.
Yeah, it is there. But we are not searching for Krishna. We are searching for happiness. We were already with Krishna. I mean, we were with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. But we wanted to enjoy separate from the Supreme Lord. So Lord had facilitated our enjoyment by creating this material universes and also by creating the material body. Buddhindriya manapranam jananam asrujat prabhu matrartam cha. We have been created with a world and we have been created with a particular body. Currently we are all human beings, so we have a human body. Some other time we may be some other living entity, some other body might be there. But especially in relation to human body, we have buddhi, we have chetana, we have intelligence, indriya, we have 5 jnanendriyas, 5 karmendriyas, mana, the mind, prana, the 10 pranas that will help us control the bodily actions and also breathing, everything is there. For what purpose? Matrartam. In order to enjoy the 5 tanmatras. Jiva comes to this material world in order to experience 5 tanmatras, not to experience Krishna. The 5 tanmatras are Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. The sound, touch, form, taste, and fragrance, smell. If we are not satisfied having the experience of these 5 tanmatras in one lifetime, we change our body, enter into some other body or some other species, we go to some other place. That is called bhavartham. Bhava means repeated cycle of birth and death. When we are done with our desire to experience the 5 tanmatras here, we need to make an endeavor to go back to Godhead. Atma. Atmane kalpanayacha. So it is the Supreme Lord who facilitates our enjoyment. He also facilitates our journey back home back to Godhead. So till now we were searching for enjoyment. Somehow or other we have come in the association of devotees. Now we should put all our endeavors to go back home back to Godhead. That is the second part of the mission of Jiva coming to this material world. So here Lord Vishnu was speaking to Brahma. In the previous cantos, he says that Lord Vishnu is saying, create the offspring who will be obedient to me and have devotion for me as in the previous day by your body composed of all the Vedas whose source is me. My dear Brahma, O Veda Garbha, O Veda personified, please create living entities who are obedient to me. The instruction by Lord Vishnu to Lord Brahma and Lord Brahma to Kardama, Daksha and all the Prajapatis is create living entities who are obedient to Lord Vishnu. That means having come to this material world, even though they are trying to enjoy the five sense objects, let them enjoy following the rules and regulations of the Vedas so that they will not be bound in this material world. With that intention, Lord had instructed Brahma and Brahma's followers so that being obedient to Lord Vishnu, taking bhakti seriously after completing our propensity to experience the five tanmatras here, we can go back home back to Godhead. So that is the purpose of our existence here in this material world. That is the reason for way by which Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Daksha, all the great sages, including our parents, our fellow devotees, they are all working very hard so that we will go back home back to Godhead. Because that was the mission of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, can I ask?
Yes.
Prabhuji, means we are not fallen, means we have not tasted the higher, we were not with the God, right? So we were created for devotion.
See, it's not like that. For example, right now, today, I am in Bombay. I was born and brought up in Andhra Pradesh. I have come to Bombay. Unfortunately, one day I met with an accident and I lost my past memories. I don't know. I am wandering here. So since I am here, people are giving me something to eat and people are giving me some place to sleep and I am living happily, forgetting who am I. But one fine day, one person who knew about me, who has come to Bombay, he says that, "Hey, my dear friend, what are you doing here? Your parents are there." And I say that, what are you saying? I am here only. I live here. I stay here. I go here. I eat here. All these things. I only have the knowledge of this place only. But it is a devotee who tells us we actually belong to spiritual world, which we forgot. So it is like that. They try to revive our past memories by giving us all the information. So when we fell down, how we came here, we don't know. Because we met with an accident, we lost all our past memories. It is the devotee, it is the spiritual master who revives our past memories. And when we receive our past memories, we'll go back to our eternal home. So it's like that.
So we ultimately never saw the Lord, right? We have never seen the Lord.
See, why are you not getting? I was born and brought up in Andhra Pradesh. That means I was already in the spiritual world. After coming to Mumbai, I met with an accident.
And now in we are searching for the Lord.
Sorry?
We rejected the higher taste. I mean,
we have not rejected. See, it is not like that. Don't go blindly. See, we don't know how we came here. Somehow out of curiosity, out of some reason we came here. Why we came here, we don't know. Because we forgot the memories. So whatever it is, but one of our friend came here to inspire us, to inform us that I belong to some other place. And he's helping us to revive our past memories. So now our activity is not to find out how I came here. Our action should be, how shall I go back to Godhead?
Yeah. Got it, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your answer.
So we should not be so much worried about when did I fall down, how did I fall down, what happened, did I give up higher rasa, this rasa, that rasa. No, it's all not required. Somehow or other we landed here. If our friend does not come, we will enjoy this place as if this place is mine. But somehow or other our friend has come. And they are informing us that we don't belong to this place. Our parents are lying somewhere else. So they are eagerly waiting for us. So we should make all endeavor to go back to our original home. So that is more important than finding out the roots. How did we come back here? How did we come here?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. The doubt is clear.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful, clear answer. So you told that the Lord has instructed Brahma to create the living entities who can serve him using the Vedas. But still, I think we being so conditioned, at least myself being so conditioned, we are misusing the Vedas and using it for sense gratification, only for the mundane thing. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful understanding of the topic. And yeah, dear devotees, if you have any more questions, please go ahead. You have time, Prabhuji, for questions?
I have time. I don't know whether you have time or not.
I don't see any more questions or hand raise. So I think we can end the call here, Prabhuji.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful session of Srimad Bhagavatam on Daksha. And we want your association in future also to enlighten us on this on another topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha Kalpa Tripasya Kripa
Sindhu Jai.
His Grace Bhavani Prabhuji
Ki Jai. Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you,
Prabhuji.
Prabhuji
Ki Jai.
Prabhuji
Ki Jai.
Prabhuji Ki Jai.